I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation Cure Master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at SurreyFarms.com or VirginiaTraditions.com.
So let's eat in. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Heritage Radio Network. We're here at Roberta's Pizza. It's a super, super rainy spring day, and that's okay because there's plenty of food to be explored in the city on a rainy day. What else are you going to do? Go to the movies? No. There's a new app, I guess you would call it an app, an iPhone app, but it's also a fun community website that you can go check out called foodspotting.com. And I have the community manager with me today, Amy Chow. Thanks very much for coming.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So food spotting is kind of a very micro way of blogging. You upload a photo from a dish, and you can elaborate on this as much as you want, but it's, you know, it used to be that, you know, all these different bloggers would be talking about this, you know, ramen that they had at so-and-so fill in the blank and sharing the information that way. But now you can just upload your photo. You can have your own blog, put it on Food Spotting. Your friends and everyone else who's glances upon this Food Spotting, which is very many, can see it. And then, you know, that's simple. Sometimes, you know, it's as simple as that. The picture speaks for itself.
Yes, it is. Food Spotting is a dish recommendation site and a mobile app for the iPhone and the Android phones. And we're about to enter our beta app for BlackBerry.
Okay.
So BlackBerry users can look out for that. But basically what we do, as you're saying, it's not necessarily a microblogging site, but it does allow for food lovers, whether you have a blog or just love looking for interesting food or dishes, to share that dish on our platform. Mm-hmm. It's basically, instead of just snapping a photo, it becomes this way of saying, I had this great ramen at Minka in the Lower East Side, and this is what it looks like, and this is where you can get it, because
true.
It gives you the address and it gives you the contact information. And once this menu on our website and our app becomes populated, it almost becomes like a picture menu, because you're seeing all these photos of different dishes around you, and it's just a good way to figure out what you want to eat based on visuals rather than reading a very long restaurant review.
Yeah, and in a short description, people can just say, oh, it has mangoes or whatever.
Right, exactly.
And you're not getting the marketing angle. You're getting the real person's what exactly they saw.
Mm-hmm.
And they ate. Yeah,
yep.
So it's cool.
Yeah, it's a fun way to share your discoveries.
And maybe it's because I have, like, all my friends are food bloggers that I'm thinking that it's, like, a really quick way to blog.
Oh, it is. No,
so I'm like, it's, like, a small, like, little community of, like, New York City food bloggers. But it could be much more than that. Sorry.
Don't apologize. Because I blog about food as well, and it is a very easy way to update my readers about where I am right then and there, what I'm eating, what I recommend.
This is something you're always doing.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle,
like,
almost.
Simplifies it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that your last name is Chow, correct?
Yes, it is Chow. Oi has been. I didn't change it for my new job, but it's spelled C-A-O, which is the Mandarin spelling of the Chow, C-H-O-W. So it could have been C-H-O-W, then it would have been.
That would have been really
easy to pronounce, yeah. It would have been much easier to pronounce. But yeah, actually, our company, there's 7 full-timers at Food Spotting. We actually have Ted Grubb, who is our...
That's his name?
Uh-huh. Grubb is his last name, with 2 B's. And Soraya Darby, our co-founder and chief of marketing. Darby means grapefruit in... in Persian. Yes, that's I keep thinking pamplemousse, but that's French.
Yeah.
But darby means grapefruit in Persian. So we will, and Fiona Tang. Fiona Tang is our head of outreach. Tang being the orange
drink.
Mixer. Yes. The delicious orange mix.
So how do you do that? You just like find people with funny food last names?
It is true. Oh, that's probably, it probably catches your eye immediately on their resume. But
Joe Hamburger out there. You're wanted at Food Spotting.
Yes, exactly. Or Diner. There was a John Diner that I worked with once at Zagat Survey. So that was funny.
That's amazing. So you guys are now, how old, Food Spotting?
We are about 15 months old. We launched in January 2010.
And you have how many users now?
Now we have over 850,000 users. They're registered, downloaded app users.
Okay.
And over 500,000 dishes uploaded to our site. So really, you can launch our app anywhere in the world and find a dish around you.
Amazing. It's soon going to, with all those archives, it's going to be like an encyclopedia of food.
Yep.
Served everywhere.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully an encyclopedia of good food around you.
So, oh, really? Well, what about the bad food? Don't people want to upload that and say, hey, don't go to this place?
Well, sometimes people do, but we really encourage our users to recommend a dish. So if you really love something, share it. But if you're going to... If you're just lukewarm about something, maybe keep it off, because when you launch our website or our app, the idea is to see where the good food is.
Right.
But you can't keep people from voicing their opinion about everything, but we do encourage people to say, try this and not just like poo-poo on things they don't
Let's
like.
Let's make this a little more user-friendly and friendly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember like in the dawning years of blogging, restaurants really hated it because people would be giving these, totally unedited comments, sometimes very snarky, about their restaurant's food. So
right, and it's so up to interpretation. It depends on the person and who their server was. So it's really hard to say how one experience will reflect how another person's experience is.
Right.
So what Food Spotting does is allow people to focus on the dish. Because even if you have this hole in the wall or someplace that's slightly out of the way, they might have this one amazing dish that makes it worth going there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you did have bad service one day, but it doesn't take away from the fact that maybe they have the best pork chop that you've ever had.
Or that it's just, a photo. A photo does not lie. It is what you got. Unless, I guess there's better ways to take the photo.
Yes, there's definitely different levels of expert photographers in using Food Spotting. But for the most part, it's a very honest portrayal of how the dish looked at that time. And even the photos that are taken in a dimly lit restaurant, even those, you can see the honesty and the enthusiasm behind it, because they said, you can see like this blurry dish of lasagna, but you still, the description might be, this lasagna is like grandma's, so you can still take that as a dish recommendation, even if the person is not an expert photographer. But we do offer tips on how to take the best food photography.
That's nice.
I maintain our blog, and what I recently did was write a blog post about how to take the best food photographs using your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to release a short how to take good food photographs with your Android phone. So stay tuned for that. But basically, it's not only how great your phone is, it's also whether you have good lighting. If you're if you're having lunch, usually you get daylight, and that's usually better for the photo. And also depends on the angle you take it. If it's a if it's a bird's eye view, you might see this really small plate. But if you get at table level or eye level with your dish, you usually get a feeling of importance, I suppose, the dish. A better food photographer might be able to give you better tips, but that's what's
worked
for me.
It seems like everyone these days is a food photographer. It's like everybody wants to take photos of their dish. So this is a really good practice and a good way to check out what's good and what's not, I guess. I don't, or what's good. Okay,
yeah,
I'll stay positive.
What's good? It's a... positive will resonate better, I suppose, when people look at something they want to eat. They want to see what they want to eat, not what they don't want to eat.
Now, what happens if I upload a photo of my friend eating something at the restaurant? Is that okay?
It won't explode. They won't. We won't send the police after you. But most people, we encourage, again, people to take photos of the dish. But if you're going to have your friend in the shot, we're not going to do anything about it.
Okay.
It's basically what your intention was.
What about obscene photographs that get uploaded to food spotting?
Sometimes we have obscene photographs. But
what was the weirdest thing?
Oh, you don't really want to know. But we do rely on our community to flag those photographs that are inappropriate. And once they're flagged.
So it's a community effort. It's a community everything. So,
it's community. The community helps us moderate it, essentially. And then,
right, because there's only 7 of you.
Yes, exactly. So just bear with us because we're a small team. But we do make every effort to make sure that only inappropriate photos are removed. Sometimes people may not like lasagna and starts flagging lasagna, you know. But most of the time, it's very respectful.
And what was your favorite? What would you think that was, you know, maybe in the last week or so, the one that really got you, you know, running to that restaurant?
Oh, well, this is a good question. I'm so glad you asked. Mm-hmm. I actually had the curry pan, which it's basically a donut with curry filling. It's a Japanese curry filling, and I got it at Cafe Zaya in Midtown Manhattan.
Wow.
It is amazing. And you know what? I have been to Cafe Zaya, and I have only been sort of impressed with it, though it's very popular in Midtown because people love going to Cafe Zaya for their relatively inexpensive Asian takeaway food during lunchtime. Our food spotting CEO was in town, and she said, we have to go to Cafe Zaya to get this curry bun. And I'm like, you know what? Cafe Zaya isn't the first place I'd go to for your last lunch in New York City. And she's like, no, we had to go. So she inspired the entire team to go to Cafe Zaya. And, you know, I didn't actually go with them, but they bought me half of their curry pan because they started eating it. And I had it, and it was amazing. Imagine a donut with crispy, it's like a crispy donut, and the inside is filled with a savory curry filling.
So it's like a jelly donut, but with curry.
Yes.
Chicken curry?
It's
something like that?
I would say it's like a meat curry. There was no meat in it, but maybe there was like some sort of meat flavor. But it was amazing. And it turns out that curry pan, also known as curry bun, curry bun is very popular in Japan. And Alexa has been to Japan numerous times. And actually, that's how food spotting was found, because she was visiting family members in Japan and discovered all these great dishes like okonomiyaki, teppanyaki, and she came back to the States and realized there was no easy way to locate these dishes that she had learned about abroad.
Right.
And so she went about and started brainstorming ideas to create food spotting. And now food spotting is a great resource to help you find certain dishes, because you're not, sometimes you can Google, you know, okonomiyaki around San Francisco, but it's...
Which, that's the pancake, right?
It's a pancake, I forget what it's made out of, but it's drizzled with this
mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It has all these shredded veggies in it. It's yummy.
Yes.
I know food is so trendy, like worldwide, that there are new dishes popping up all the time. So this is a great way to keep track of all of them and share them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe spread them all. Maybe the trends will, you know, this curry.
Curry pun. Yes, exactly. Because after I said, wow, this is the most amazing thing you've probably never tasted. I posted that on Twitter, and then my friend who works at New York Magazine's Grub Street, she retweeted it, and, you know, who knows, with her food enthusiasts, food lovers who follow her, maybe they'll go and discover her curry pan, too.
So watch out for the invasion of curry pan.
Yes, I hope it does, because it is so good. It was
That's
so good.
Crazy. Wow.
Yes, now you'll have to go try it.
I kind of want to make it now.
Oh, do. Sorry. If you did... Do it. That would be awesome.
Do you like to make food too?
oh, making food. I can not cook. I'm not very good at it. Maybe I should say that. I'm not very good at cooking. And, well, I guess that leads to the conversation of what am doing and what I did before, food spotting, and that's, I have a video series called Stupidly Simple Snacks, and...
Stupidly Simple Snacks.
Stupidly Simple Snacks, because I talk about food, I write about food, and I work within this food mobile tech space, and yet I cannot cook it for my life. So I started this video show where I make very easy things that even I cannot screw up.
Well, then you can. Yeah.
Well, they're easy things like creative twists on the peanut butter and jelly sandwich and how to microwave a potato. And not many people know you can microwave a potato. So I try to find different ways to make life easier for those who are afraid of cooking.
Well, there you go.
But I'm not like...
You should read your own blog.
I should read my own blog. And, you know, sometimes there was one recipe that I made with the author of The Art of Nonconformity, Chris Guillebeau. He travels a lot, and his goal is to travel to every country in the world. And he says a lot of times when he's traveling, he gets hungry, he pecks these energy bars. So together, we decided, why don't we make our own interpretation of a snack bar or an energy bar. And we came up with this, by accident, this amazing recipe for unconventional snack bars. That's what we call them. But it's almond butter, Rice Krispies, instant oats, chocolate chips, and honey. Basically, those are the five main ingredients. And all we did was we nuked the almond butter and the honey in the microwave and used that to stir in the Rice Krispies.
Hardens afterwards. Yes. Yeah.
It was amazing. It's a snack bar, and this is what my boyfriend eats for dinner for like weeks, because he gets in these peanut butter and jelly phases and then snack bar phases. Yeah, but it really
demystifies the whole wrapped snack food.
Exactly.
Phenomenon.
And it's fun.
Yeah, because I don't know what's in those things, actually, but now you describe like one way to make it with four or five ingredients, that's inspiring.
Yes. So hopefully I'll have more of those to share. And it's been fun.
I can't wait. Yeah. I'll look forward to more of those. In the meantime, I know you picked out a song to put on.
Yes, it is by Madeline Perot.
Oh, right. I love her.
And it's just been, aside from today, because it's a little bit rainy, it's been actually pretty nice out in New York City. And it just reminds me of al fresco dining in a springtime dress.
Yeah. All right, let's be reminded of that. Be right back.
J'ai deux amours, mon pays et Paris. Pareil toujours, mon cœur est ravi. Manhattan est belle, mais à quoi le voir un jour, c'est mon rêve joli. J'ai deux amours, mon pays et Paris.
Following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune into The Food Scene Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network. Hosted by Michael Harlan Turkel, photo editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan magazines, he'll further explore the amalgamation of food and art by talking to artists from a multitude of media. Guests will range from photographers, food stylists, interior architects for restaurants, industrial designers, all the players that make you want to eat with your eyes. Get ready to feast your ears every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
All All right, we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Airway, and I have Amy Chow from Food Spotting on.
Hello.
That was a nice little song.
Well, thank you.
Definitely made me want to go outside.
Yes.
Hopefully when it gets nicer.
It will. It will.
So we were talking about food spotting and what it's all about, and maybe I'm curious about where it'll go, too, if you have any ideas. Obviously, it's going to expand and create a very amazing, comprehensive directory of food. Mm-hmm. But what about, I don't know what made me think of this, but can people add on the price of the dish?
We're actually planning to incorporate a kind of price range for the restaurants.
Yeah.
So look out for that.
That could be a really useful piece of information for future, just, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes that'll affect where you want to dine too. So,
right.
So yes, we definitely want to and plan to incorporate mm-hmm. that.
And especially with, it might be interesting to see you become a year or so from now, because I'm sure you've heard like this rising food cost is now starting to affect restaurateurs, and they're trying to figure out if, you know, or how to raise prices or mm-hmm. and how much. I'm curious about how, you know,
how this how will much. Affect people dining out,
or just what the bare, you know, change in a slice of pizza might be, you know, from to this year and then next.
Yes, that's true.
Then we can go back and look at the same pizzeria and what it was last year on Food Spotting.
It'll definitely be interesting to see. I mean, 12 months, a lot can happen in 12 months, right? So
you sound very scared about the food.
Right now I'm actually thinking of MetroCards and how it's $2.50, and I guess, was it a year ago, it was just $2.25, and then yeah. maybe a few years before that it was still in the dollars.
Yeah.
So I feel like obviously we have no choice but to be flexible and you know, bend with the changes and adopt, and maybe our dining habits will change, but well, I guess only time will tell.
Yeah, you know, they always say that. They always predict, oh, no one's going to go out to restaurants. But it's very ingrained in our culture, I think. Even though, you know, I've spoken a lot about embracing home cooking, but I think that has a place in our culture, too. They mm-hmm. both belong. But anyway, speaking of which, so you're Simple Snacks.
Yes.
It sounds like a great concept, and hey, maybe that'll take off when.
Well, the fingers are crossed, and the team is very supportive of what I do on my own time, and that they love the snack show as well. So mm-hmm. I'm very lucky to be working with a team that accepts me for who I am, someone who can't cook for her life.
I highly doubt that.
Aww. okay, fine. I can bake chocolate chip cookies from the Baked New Frontiers cookbook,
mm-hmm.
which I...
That's a great one.
It is a really great one. And if you guys ever get the chance to go to Red Hook, Brooklyn, I highly recommend stopping by Baked Bakery. Two guys who used to work in the ad agency advertising field and who just had a love for baking. And now it's really taken off. And I'll have a couple of cookies, but really my boyfriend is the one who eats them all when I bake them. So that's
they're
actually...
They're pretty tasty.
They're very tasty. They're just... and their cupcakes are awesome, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I got to stay away from this. I work in Red Hook, so I'm like always...
You go there all the time?
Yeah, for coffee sometimes and, you know...
They have these whoopie pies, too.
Yeah, the Brookies. They have all these crazy little signature...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're called. Garbage cookies, maybe?
Monster cookies,
yeah.
Yes. I've made monster cookies, too.
Nice.
They're supposed to be, I guess I consider them sort of healthy because they have instant oats in them and peanut butter, disregarding the high sugar content of peanut butter. It's still
if you take away all the butter and sugar, it's totally healthy.
It's totally healthy.
You can extract that, no problem, from a cookie.
That's true. Maybe we should just practice moderation. Maybe that's the better advice.
So, food spotting. It's really funny because you guys interviewed me on it, even though I'm like the antithesis of food spotting. It was really sweet.
Oh, we love everyone who loves food, right?
Cool.
We love everyone who loves food, and you've definitely been an ambassador of home cooking, and we admire you for that.
Thank you.
Of course, after reading your book, you said that, you know, your family would go out to get dim sum, and one of the foods that you said you miss while not dining out in New York was dim sum.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Top reason for eating out.
Yes, because you're not going to create a dozen different small dishes.
Never.
For this very communal experience, right?
Unless I practice for years and, you know.
No, I bet you could do it. But it just takes a lot of effort.
Exactly.
And you are not going to just create three dumplings of one kind of dim sum, you know?
Yeah.
So there are definitely reasons for dining out. And it's very fun to see your side of it.
Thank you.
You know, because it's a test of your will, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. But you guys mentioned that you've heard a lot of people say, oh, are you going to add like home cooking thing to an aspect of that to Food 52?
That's okay. We all have food in our name. It's very confusing.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of food fill in the blanks we were just talking about off air. But home cooking is not like...
Well, home cooking...
How do you...
Well, what we do... What food spotting? What we do is help people find good dishes.
Right. So that doesn't really
Well, we don't tell our users... Don't upload a photo of the dish that you made at home. But but there is a way for us to mark those properties as private, because first, you don't want people showing up at your door saying, wow, this dish looks awesome. Can I have
some? Unless you're Ben Sargent, the lobster guy.
Yes, exactly. Then you would go to the press with your secret location. But in terms of what we try to do as a service is allow people to find that food again and to recreate the experience that's shown in that photo. But
you can't really do that when it's
home cooked meal. You can't really necessarily do that unless you're going to invite, you know, everyone on the food spreading team
users. It could happen.
It is true, and who knows where you know your professional looking home cooked meals might lead you.
Exactly.
But
it could get weird.
As long as it's edible, we will not delete it.
Really cool.
Yeah, we'll not delete it, but we will mark it private.
Okay.
If I find you, I will find your home-cooked meal and mark it private. But then in that case, at least it doesn't misrepresent the fact that you can find this out.
That's true.
Out in the streets, basically.
So I'm very excited to ask you this question, because you're such a food-savvy, well-traveled foodie. Perfect date meal.
Perfect
Where would
date
you go?
Meal.
What would it be?
Is first date... 15th date?
You can interpret that however you like.
Okay, well, I actually, for my Sunday date last night with Jason, my boyfriend, we actually went to Motorino.
Mm-hmm.
And they like Roberta's Pizza, has awesome pizza. Mm-hmm. And there's something about not just going to the corner pizza joint and getting a New York slice, which is awesome in itself, but it's such a... It's a comfort food, and also it's easy. It's casual. I can enjoy a whole pie by myself at Motorino, which I did, although I didn't finish all of the crust. I'm sorry for the crust lovers out there.
That's still impressive.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was amazing. I had the Brussels sprouts and pancetta pizza, and they have about six different pizzas. They're Napoleonic.
Mm-hmm.
Napoleonic style, Neapolitan. Sorry,
I was saying. I was like, what?
Neapolitan style. Oops. Yeah, you don't want to talk to me for too long because I start making words up. Neapolitan style pizza. Yeah, it was very casual, and
I want to see somebody at Roberta's come up with a Napoleon pizza. We'll have like French Gruyere and something like
multiple layers. But Roberta's is great. It's not as close to me as Motorino is in the East Village, but I really loved the pizza at Roberta's too.
So like the fun kind of city, snacky, comfort food.
It's
pizza.
Comfort, but it's also almost artisanal too. You know, it's
gourmet
pizza. It's not just something that I made at
and
home.
So do you guys each get a pie?
Sometimes we share, sometimes depending on our hunger levels.
I feel like when you get two pies, why, you know, just consume one when you can share in a slice?
Usually we share, but he insisted on having his own Brussels sprouts pancetta pizza last night, so I was like, okay, then I'll have to get my own as well. So I did. So we had two. They have a really good Ramps pizza too.
Nice.
And so definitely recommend the Ramps pizza before it goes out of season.
Yeah, that's a short window. It might be over soon. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for your advice.
Anytime.
I think I saw that photo on Food Spotting. You can see that pancetta and Brussels sprouts pie.
It's what I ate last night. You could just go to foodspotting.com/Amy.
All right, so we're about to food spot our lunch here.
Yay. Next.
But anyway, thanks so much for joining us. Please do check out Food Spotting, join the community, and also simply
and watch Stupidly Simple Snacks.
Exactly. See you next
thanks
week.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Amy.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
This is Behind the Scenes News with Katie Kiefer. Just this week, I read about one of my favorite television personalities, Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs, who testified in Congress about how disconnected Americans in general have become from the people who produce their food or fix their pipes, make their clothes, etc. Here's what he said. I believe we need a national PR campaign for skilled labor. Something that addresses the widening skills gap head-on and reconnects the country with the most important part of our workforce. Right now, American manufacturing is struggling to fill 200,000 vacant positions, and there are 450,000 openings in trades, transportation, and utilities. The skills gap is real, and it's getting wider. In Alabama, a third of all skilled tradesmen are over 55. They're retiring fast, and no one is there to replace them. In general, we are surprised that high unemployment can exist at the same time as a skilled labor shortage, but we shouldn't be. We've pretty much guaranteed it. In high schools, the vocational arts have all but vanished. We've elevated the importance of higher education to such a lofty perch that all other forms of knowledge are now labeled alternative. Millions of parents and kids see apprenticeships and on-the-job training opportunities as, quote, vocational consolation prizes, best suited for those not cut out for a four-year degree. And still, we talk about millions of shovel-ready jobs for a society that does not encourage people to pick up a shovel. In 100 different ways, we've slowly marginalized an entire category of critical professions, reshaping our expectations of a good job into something that no longer looks like work. A few years from now, an hour with a good plumber, if you can find one, is going to cost you more than an hour with a good psychiatrist. So check out Mike Rowe Works, that's his website, where he is announcing a broad-based initiative from Discovery Communications called Discover Your Skills. I think he has a lot of interesting points to be made here, and I think everybody would do well to take a look at it. So this is Behind the Scenes News from Katie Kiefer. Thanks for listening.
The following is a message from Heritage Foods USA. In the next few weeks, Heritage Foods USA will be offering an interesting variety of amazing products, ranging from top-quality seafood to their famous pork cuts. At the end of May, the Heritage team will go up to Maine to harvest fresh lobster with sustainable lobstermen. These delicious lobster are a perfect way to kick off the summer season. In the pork department, Heritage Foods USA will offer the maple-cured smoked boneless Heritage ham at an unbeatable price. This offer won't last long, so get them while you can. Place your order today at heritagefoodsusa.com or call 718-389-0985. That's 718-389-0985 to place your order with Andrea or Ashley. And don't forget to sign up for the email list and to check them on Facebook and Twitter to get in on their new products, deals, and offers from Heritage Foods USA.